Blog Talk Radio.
With the number one overall selection. How does an undrafted prospect turn into a Hall of Famer? Around can't be put on desire. Small school. Big school. You have to be the best to get paid.
Welcome back to another edition of the C2P. We're just knocking things out of the ballpark tonight. We just had our 2018 post-free agency mock draft, and Justin Van Vulpen, the NFL draft guru, the man, the myth, joined us. He was breaking down the picks along with myself. It's a fantastic episode. Some sneaky picks. I think we both took each other by surprise. Some of the guys we wanted may have gotten away, but we'll never share that with each other because we won't talk to one another after that. But with that said, Justin is revealing his top 32 prospects for next year's draft. Not 2018, folks. We're going into the crystal ball. We're going out that far away to 2019. And Justin, that's what he does, man. He's breaking them down not only for this year, but he's already got the bases covered. Justin, welcome back to the program, man. I'm excited about this show because I know these guys, but you know these guys 10 times better than what I do. And you're going to let all our listeners out there kind of find the wealth and information that you provide. But again, we appreciate you taking some time. When do you start kind of putting the 2019 draft or, I guess, prospect list together, Justin?
Well, I mean, I think you got to, you know, start, you know, basically in March. I mean, that's what basically the NFL scouts do. If people don't know, you know, kind of it's a year long, you know, process. I mean, so basically there's what's called junior days are, and what juniors days are is when NFL scouts go to college campuses and basically work out the to be senior prospects, the guys who are going to be juniors, you know, or who are juniors are going to be seniors in the fall, you know, and the same thing with, you know, now they're starting allowing guys who are sophomores who will be juniors to also a few schools will allow those, you know, guys to work out too for the NFL scouts. So basically, it's a year-round process. So at this time, you're starting to get your list together of, okay, what juniors do you think are going to come out early? Where's some of your seniors? Who are the small school guys? So, again, it's about this time when you start working on the next year's draft, even a month before that current draft is even, you know, taking place. So we're three, four weeks away from, you know, the 18 draft, but the 19 draft stuff is already stuff not just by me, but by all 32 NFL teams have already started to work on that. I know a lot of these seniors, they've already worked out for NFL scouts, done height, weight, you know, arm length, hand size, took a Wernicke test. You know, some schools allow guys to run 40s. Most schools won't, but basically everybody will estimate that. And they come basically the spring grades, and those are by Blessing One National. And everyone from agents to financial advisors to guys who run all-star games all try to get their hands on those Blessed One National lists, you know, come May when they have their meetings there basically into May and basically June, July. Everybody in the football business community is trying to find the grades, which is something that always is hard, but somehow always everybody seems at least to get some scenario of what those grades were. And this past year, Harold Landry, you know, was the number one overall prospect coming out of National and Blesto's grades. And, you know, we've seen where now he's kind of made a rise. I mean, people were talking about him going in, you know, round two, but now after the combine and his pro day, you know, he's kind of rose up to being in the middle of the first round. We had him going number 23 overall in our mock draft to the New Orleans, I mean, to the Los Angeles Rams there. So, again, just kind of how the whole process works. And like I said, we'll get into some of these 2019 guys and have a little fun tonight with those, with that prospects.
Awesome, Justin. And exciting stuff. So you're going to list these kind of in an order as you think these guys are today. We got a long way to go, and these guys will obviously come and go. Some guys might pop up. Some guys might pop off. It's just the way it goes. But nonetheless, I'm excited. I'm sure everybody tuning in tonight is very eager for you to begin this list. So, Justin, you can kind of just name these guys down the numbers and just kind of share a little bit about them, and we'll just go down the list.
Yeah, well, let's go five at a time here. You know, we'll kind of go off the first five here. I think really we talked about this year's draft being the year of the quarterback, where quarterbacks go 1, 2, and 3, and that's how we had it in that mock draft. This 2019 draft really is the year of the defensive line. If you're looking for interior guys, pass rushers, you're going to find them here in the 2019 draft. Really starting off with probably right now the number one overall prospect is defensive tackle Ed Oliver out of Houston. He's already said that he's going to declare for the NFL draft, you know, so he's there, you know, and again, he's been the dominant guy, you know, could really, you know, probably, you know, be a Heisman-type candidate. It's kind of the level where Ndamukong Suh was in Nebraska for, you know, a couple of years ago when he was kind of in that mix of the Heisman talk there. Ed Oliver is a dominant defensive lineman, you know, and really, you know, Dexter Lawrence is kind of the same prospect there. He's a bigger, thicker, you know, prospect there. The defensive tackle from Clemson is number two on my list. Number three is Rashawn Gary, the defensive lineman, both end and tackle there out of Michigan. This guy, you know, last year when they put out the Michigan kind of pro days, what they did there, this guy ran in the 4.6s, high 4.5s, you know, low 4.6s at close to 300 pounds. So talking about putting on a freak show. You know, if those numbers are true and he runs that here in Indianapolis, you know, next year, people are going to really look at, hey, kind of what, you know, Myles Garrett, Myra Williams, and guys that, you know, are that ilk type of athlete at that size. And then a guy who basically really came on at the playoffs and national championship game is Rakan Davis, the defensive lineman from Alabama. And then kind of rounding it off is Joey Bosa's younger brother, Nick Bosa from Ohio State, both, you know, pass rushers there. So, again, like we said, kind of, you know, if we just look at these first five guys, all defensive linemen, all guys who can rush the quarterback. And really, the NFL doesn't have a ton of these guys. And really, it's going to get really, the NFL is going to get helped by the defensive line depth and ability that next year's draft really brings to it.
Definitely, and that is crazy. I mean, to think of how how quarterback-oriented this 2018 draft class and plans on being with the quarterbacks up top, and it kind of reigns supreme where these defensive guys kind of take the bull by the horns, if you will, and kind of, you know, bear witness. And it should be a fun draft in all terms if this is how it pans out, because, you know, these big guys kind of add another dimension. It kind of just makes it a little bit fiercer, a little bit tougher. And, you know, Bosa is a great talent as well. I mean, if he can live up to anything close to what his brother's done in a short, limited time with the Chargers, any team that welcomes him to their team is going to be very excited. And it's kind of crazy. Again, you know, you see the familiar faces. You know, you got a Houston AAC, you got the ACC, you got the Big Ten, SEC, and another Big Ten school. So it's just kind of those Power Five programs absent of Houston are kind of making their impact again at the NFL level. So you brought us up from the top five, which was obviously defensive line guys from top to bottom, and now we're going to go through 6 through 10.
Yeah, and then, you know, obviously our first offensive skill guy, A.J. Brown out of Ole Miss. I mean, this guy, you know, he's you know, if he was in this year's draft, he'd be better than Calvin Ridley. I mean, he's really a legit, you know, number one receiver and the likes of Julio Jones and Odell Beckham Jr., you know, one of those really true number one receivers. I really like him. He's got size. He can run. You know, really when you think of kind of really that wide receiver athlete, you're looking at A.J. Brown. And then we go back to the defensive line. We go back to Clemson, where Clemson obviously is going to be dominant there up front with the front that they bring. And Colin Farrell, the, you know, pass rush, the defensive end, the 6'5", 260-pound guy there who was, you know, a first-team All-American there last year and was, you know, wasn't the ability to come out this year because he was a redshirt sophomore but decided to come back for another year and, you know, and he'll be again. He could be a guy like Bradley Chubb. Bradley Chubb could have came out last year and been a mid, you know, to mid to late first round pick, but now he could be the number one overall, you know, number two overall pick, you know, high type thing. And that's where you think Colin Farrell could really kind of help raise his stock there. And then his teammate, Christian Wilkins, who could have, again, who could have came out early but decided to come back there, you know, I think is, and again, Clemson, ACC, big school, Power Five there. And then we talk about, okay, hey, who really, we really don't have a true dominant offensive lineman as regards to a left tackle prospect. Yeah, Connor Williams, you know, Orlando Brown is talked for here, the kid from Notre Dame, McGlinchey this year. But really, Jonathan Williams out of Alabama, if he kind of keeps developing there, he's a true sophomore this year, so next year he'll be a true junior. But he could be a top 10 offensive. And again, if we go back to the defensive line and back to, you know, the SEC, the, you know, defensive end Marlon Davidson out of Auburn. So if we just look at here and the guys we talked about, we've only talked about two offensive guys. We talked about A.J. Brown and Jonathan Williams, they're out of Alabama in our top 10. We're talking about eight defensive linemen that could go in the top 10. Ridiculous amount of talent at that defensive line. So you talk about if you need a defensive lineman, you might even look at how you kind of stack the boards and stuff like that. You might say, hey, why do I reach for this guy here when I know next year I can get a, you know, there's going to be a lot more depth at that position.
Awesome stuff. And I was looking at my notes. I mean, 2016, there was one defensive tackle taken in the entire first round. And according to the 2019 projections, we basically almost have two or three going off in the top 10. And I'm sure there's going to be plenty of names still coming off the board with basically 22 selections still to go in Justin Van Volpen's 2019 reveal of the top 32 prospects in this man's opinion. Justin, that takes us down through 11 through 15. And again, we have two offensive guys off the board from 1 through 10. This receiver, A.J. Brown from Ole Miss, and offensive tackle, true sophomore, Jonah Williams from Alabama. But other than that, it's all interior and ends on the defensive side. But that, Justin, take us through 11 through 15.
Well, we go to the wide receiver position, and the Colin Johnson from University of Texas really is, again, a 6'6", 220-pound, was a true sophomore last year, you know, really kind of came on, started, you know, made 9 starts, had 50 catches, you know, in the season, really, you know, kind of, really is just kind of scratching the surface of his ability. You know, you think of, okay, kind of those big receivers. You look at a Calvin Johnson type, you know, ability that this guy could potentially have with the size that and speed that he possesses. You know, again, not saying he's going to be Calvin Johnson, but if you just look at kind of where his body type is there, that type of a big body receiver. We knew what Calvin Johnson was able to do and really kind of be in the red zone and be that type of talent there. So look for him to be very high, you know, if he can keep on going. And then we go back to the defensive line. We go Joe Jackson out of Miami, another edge rusher guy, you know, another big defensive lineman there out of, you know, kind of the U. They've in the past really, you know, kind of put those guys out there, you know. So that's, you know, there. Again, that's kind of a theme for the 2019 draft, defensive lineman. Then we look at 13, you know, Greg Little out of Ole Miss. We thought, you know, a couple of years ago, you know, when kind of the offensive lineman went kind of there, we even thought the Ole Miss offensive tackle could be the number one overall pick, you know, there. And we saw what happened with the, you know, kind of the smoking the bong and doing all that kind of stuff there. But Greg Little out of Ole Miss was a high school recruit out of Allen, Texas. Me and you know, we've been to that stadium when we did the Texas First Nation game there in Allen, Texas. And this is where Greg Little played his high school football there. So a little, you know, C to a P, Greg Little, Allen, Texas, played there at that high school. We had the last Texas First Nation game. And then, again, an offensive tackle who got hurt, who could have been in this year's draft, decided to go back to the University of Washington, and that's Trey Adams, had a knee injury, you know, and could have came out, you know, basically last year, you know, people were projecting him. He was going to be maybe the one or the two offensive tackle if he doesn't get hurt. He comes out and is in the 2018 draft as a junior. but a big guy who's, you know, long, athletic there in Trey Adams out of University of Washington. And then we get to the defensive back. Probably the best defensive back in this upcoming year's class is Greedy Williams out of LSU. Again, we know LSU has always produced great defensive backs, from the likes of Patrick Peterson to the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathews, who just signed with the Houston Texans. LSU always has a knack for defensive prospects putting in the board, and Greedy Williams is that next line in great LSU defenders there, and, you know, kind of a guy, it's the same like of a Honey Badger slash Patrick Peterson, that kind of impact of player at the next level.
No, Justin, I'm a sucker for LSU Tiger defensive backs. Why? Because they're all very, very good at the next level, and they do special things at the collegiate level. So I'm not going to lie. When I'm looking at guys and this guy got that little tiger across from his name where it says LSU on his jersey, I'm going to definitely give him the nod over a lot of other schools because they just have a system down there. Some schools do very, you know, things very well, and them eyeing these kids as high school kids and developing them into NFL guys. And I think that's the big thing, is they develop into these guys as NFL guys. And Greedy Williams, like you mentioned, should be another guy in line to be a standout defensive back from LSU who shines in the NFL. That brings us from 16 to 20. And I'm curious, Justin, are there any quarterbacks in this draft class that are going to be hurt in the first round?
Well, you know, you mention it and you shall receive the quarterback, first kind of quarterback there, and the number one quarterback in this year's draft class is Drew Locke out of Missouri, a guy who threw for a ton of yards, ton of touchdowns there last year. Some thought he would have cleared early, you know, and there was questions, would he come out earlier or not? Drew Locke is the best quarterback prospect, you know, that's draft eligible right now. He's got a big arm. Would he be, you know, he's going to be probably sixth, you know, he's probably better, you know, he's in that mix between a Baker Mayfield, probably better, you know, not as good as Baker Mayfield, but better probably than Lamar Jackson as a quarterback prospect if he was in this year's draft class. But next year he'll be the number one quarterback prospect there. And then we go back to the defensive backfield, and DeAndre Baker, they're out of the University of Georgia. Really kind of come on, you know, wasn't a super highly recruited guy. I think he was the number in the 70s as a cornerback prospect, but really he's kind of played really well, you know, over the last 3-4 years that he's been there in Georgia. We know Georgia always, you know, produces high-level defensive players just like LSU, and he had a great kind of playoff run there, you know, there with Georgia when they made their run to the national championship game and lost there to Alabama. So watch out for DeAndre Baker out of Georgia. And next we go to the interior offensive lineman. And so he's probably not as good as really the number one interior offensive lineman in Quentin Nelson there at Notre Dame, but Connor McGovern from Penn State is probably not far behind. He's a dominant Big Ten power, you know, fire big, you know, hogs is like, you know, the old Washington Redskins, you know, had just a power pig, you know, scouts will say, you know, and really, you know, definitely a high level guy. Again, I don't think he's to Quentin Nelson's type ability, but he's just a shade under that. And then we go, I think this year, next year's, you know, kind of theme of the draft going to be offense and defensive linemen. Because David Edwards out of the University of Wisconsin, again, is a high-level offensive line prospect there. Thomas was from Wisconsin. He just retired, but we've had many, many guys out of Wisconsin. It's a factory of offensive linemen. They coach it well. They play it well. It's really kind of an NFL system as they run there in Wisconsin. So when scouts are there in Wisconsin, they know what they're going to get with those offensive line prospects there. So I think that's a great thing, and it doesn't take those guys to that, you know, much to, you know, kind of transition to the next level there. But after
awesome stuff.
Back to you know, and that's kind of the next five.
That's awesome, Justin, and it's crazy to think, you know, when we just transitioned from 2018 looking ahead to 2019, how different these drafts are going to look in terms of the positions being set. Justin has reeled off his top 20 prospects so far. He's going to give us 32 before the night ends. But 14 out of the top 20, they're either offensive or defensive linemen. and 9 of those top 20 hail from the defensive side of the football. So it just shows you this is going to be an offensive and defensive front draft next year. And regardless, there's not going to be that much change in the terms of how these positions fall. I mean, some guys may slip, some guys might rise up. But nonetheless, I think you kind of see the thing that's going to be in vogue for next season. It's going to be not a lot of skilled guys like we're accustomed to seeing in this upcoming draft in 18. It's going to be the grinders, the guys that we don't pay a lot of attention to because we want to watch the guys that catch and throw them, run the ball. But these are going to got to use to do the dirty work. They're going to be getting a ton of money next year when they're hearing their names called via the NFL draft. Justin, that takes us from 21 down to 25.
And again, now we go back to the defensive side of the ball. They're in Florida. Again, we're in the SEC. We know what type of football that they play down there in the, you know, kind of in the SEC. He's a guy who can play both corner and safety, a big physical guy, probably more of a safety prospect than a corner. Again, not to the level of Minkah Fitzpatrick, but very, very good. And then, again, we stay with his teammate for the next pick, and that's Tyree Cleveland, a sophomore to be junior there out of the University of Florida. Again, a 6'2", 205-pound receiver, just a really good route runner, really a good athlete at the end of the day. At 22, we look to our second quarterback in this year's draft. And again, every year, quarterback is at premium. There's not enough quarterbacks to go around. As we saw in free agency, you know, guys, you know, again, we're changing teams. We saw all of Minnesota's quarterbacks, 1, 2, and 3, all change teams and all probably will be starters for their respective team next year. So Nick Fitzgerald out of Mississippi State. Now, people are going to look at him and go, okay, hey, is he a mini Cam Newton? You know, we see kind of real weird how Cam was used there in the run-pass option there at Auburn. You know, he's a big physical guy who, you know, needs to really improve as a passer, just like Cam needed to do when he came out of Auburn, you know, there as a junior. And I think Nick Fitzgerald, if he doesn't have that knee injury, you know, in the last game of the season against Ole Miss and tears ACL, he comes out early, you know, and is in kind of in this mix, but he's able to come back for his senior year. I think you're going to see him. Maybe he's not all the way back when the season starts with Mississippi State, but he's a guy to watch, a great athlete, 6'5", kind of that, you know, RPO guy there. He's got to improve as a passer, and people are going to look at him and going, he doesn't have, you know, these past couple of years, you know, close to a 60% completion percentage. But I think he can get that way, and I think he's going to be a guy who's going to rise because they're going to see his talents athletically and kind of fall in love with him, just like people have fallen in love with Josh Allen here in this year's draft class. And then you go to our number one tight end prospect next year, and that's Caleb Wilson, the tight end out of UCLA. Again, you know, has NFL DNA in his family there. So, again, everybody loves to look at that kind of bloodlines there as they look there. Next, again, we're kind of getting that offensive kind of mindset we've had, you know, in this kind of pocket here where they are. And that's Paris Campbell out of Ohio State. A lot of people were surprised that Paris decided to come back for his senior year at Ohio State, but he did. I think it's going to benefit him because, again, he's going to be kind of that number one guy there. JT Barrett has moved down. They're going to kind of get maybe more of a throwing quarterback as we saw in, you know, Ohio State versus Michigan there. When their backup came in there, I think, you know, he can improve as a route runner. Again, Ohio State has great athletes at the receiver position. You know, name it. All the way going back from Joey Galloway, you know, to Ted Ginn, to, you know, on and on and on. I mean, as far as the receivers that they put in the league, always is kind of at Ohio State. And again, we go to his teammate for the 25th pick. And again, another guy who many people thought was going to be in this year's draft class. And that's Draymond Jones, the defensive tackle from Ohio State. And again, defensive line, and he just helps the depth of this year's, of the 2019 class. He can come back. He was a redshirt sophomore, so could have declared. A lot of people thought he wasn't going to declare, but came back to Ohio State for his redshirt junior year next year. But again, I think he'll declare after next season and come out early for the NFL draft.
Justin. Phenomenal stuff. That takes us from picks 21 to 25. And as you mentioned, that was a little bit of an offensive pocket with four of the five guys being on the offensive side. Two receivers, Nick Fitzgerald of Mississippi State, the quarterback, and a tight end. We didn't have any tight ends going in our mock draft that we did earlier for 2018, but one of them ends up on the board, and Caleb Wilson from UCLA. Man, Justin, listening to you break down these picks, I hope our listeners out there are appreciating and are having as much fun and getting this insight. And, you know, folks, when you listen to this show, you might want to listen to it again, because then you can kind of start talking smart in front of all your football friends, and they're going to wonder how the hell you know all this information, and they're going to know. Well, they might not know unless they listen in, but you're going to know because you listen in with Justin Van Fulpen as he breaks down his top 32 prospects of 2019, sharing them here on the C2P. If you miss any of these shows, you know, always you can check them out at iTunes and Blog Talk Radio. You just simply type in 2018 NFL Draft Class, and these links will appear. And I encourage you to listen to the mock draft. And then we're also going to be breaking down position as we move closer to the 2018 draft, nearly a month away, but we're going to go with the positions as well, with Justin sharing his invaluable insight that he brings to the table. It's just awesome that he shares this with us. Justin, I guess we're going to go 26 through 30, and then you can wrap up the final two, but it's all yours, my man.
Well, you know, again, I mean, we talked about, hey, where are these offensive stars? And when we just did this mock draft, I think we had two receivers that went in the top 32. And again, even though we've been at offensive and defensive linemen, you know, really kind of heavy here, we go back to the receiver position there, and Armani Richards out of the University of Miami. He was banged up this past year when really they made a kind of a revival of their kind of their franchise down there as the U, as they call it. I mean, when he was a freshman, he averaged 19.1 yards a catch, had almost 1,000 yards as a true freshman. Last year, people were expecting a lot of things, still averaged 18.3 yards per catch, but, you know, only played in a handful of games. He missed a lot of games with injury. If he stays healthy, big-time talent there. And then we go, we had Saquon Barkley in the top five there. We're going to go back to a running back position, but we're going to go to Oklahoma, and Rodney Anderson, the running back out of Oklahoma. Obviously, there were some off-the-field issues that, you know, got cleared up. There, and you know, he was able to play, really helped in as far as in the championship game and in the playoffs there against as they kind of rolled through in that game against Georgia there, had 1,100 you know rushing yards there, and really guy who's a big time running back, you know, could potentially come back, would only be a redshirt sophomore next year, but obviously 3 years out of college. 3 years out of high school makes him eligible for the draft. So, but I think Rodney Edwards, as we saw, you know, running backs, there's a life, shelf on how many carries that they can take. And so I think Rodney Edwards has another good year and declares for the NFL draft. And then another guy who people thought, hey, this guy was coming out early this year, but decided to go back to Boston College, and that was Zach Allen. And again, we talked about Harold Landry being the number one overall prospect in this year's draft class when this spring grade set came out, and how he went number 23 to the Los Angeles Rams. Well, a lot of people thought that Zach Allen out of Boston College was a better player this past fall there for Boston College, and really helped them get to a bowl game. Surprising, and again, he decided to come back, and again, it's helped really that defensive line depth there with Zach Allen out of Boston College. And now we get to our third quarterback in the top 32, and that's Clayton Thorson out of Northwestern. Now, even before he tore his ACL in the bowl game, he had decided that he was coming back for Northwestern. I think it was a great decision for him. But then after the unfortunate injury there in the bowl game, he knew that obviously he was going to come back already, and it obviously turned out to be, you know, the right decision, again. And I think he's a guy who's got to improve. Again, there's a lot of warts on these quarterbacks. There's, from Drew Lock to Clayton Thorson to our other, Nick Fitzgerald there. There's guys, they got to improve, and they can really help their stock their senior season. They're all going to be seniors. Most likely all three will get invited down to Mobile to the Senior Bowl there, and they'll hopefully be able to take advantage of there. Now, another safety there is Taylor Rapp out of Washington. Again, just a really kind of that true safety that you're looking for, kind of can play, the center field there, but also can come down there and support the run. And again, he's just a really good all-around football player that maybe people won't be able to, talk a ton about there because he'll play in the Pac-12, and guys like us, their games are on at,
10 o'clock at night and you're not seeing them as much, you know, as, you know, trying to stay up and watch them there. But when the draft process comes there, we'll talk a lot about Taylor Rapp out of Washington. So that's through the top 30 picks and or top 32 prospects in next year's 2019 draft.
That's awesome, Justin. And we got Rapp, and then we think we got two more guys left on this list, and they both hail from the SEC, I believe, from looking at some of the names that you sent me. So why don't you share with us the last two guys on your list?
Yeah, and I think that it's a running back, you know, number the 31st pick would be Damian Harris out of Alabama. And again, another guy who people thought, hey, he's an Alabama guy. He's a running back. They have, you know, as far as those are top running backs as a true freshman, you know, there and Najee Good. For Damian Harrison to go back to Alabama really helps the Crimson Tide. They rushed for over 1,000 yards this season there. And again, top talent there at position there, you know, and definitely a player there. And then a linebacker out of your favorite defensive school, LSU, Devin White, you know. And again, some of these linebackers out of LSU, people don't talk about them in college. You know, it's not like, oh, they're getting a bunch of hype and stuff like that. And then they end up, you know, late first, early second round picks and teams, people are like, well, who was that guy? I don't remember him. And he's like, oh, he played at LSU. I mean, you know, because they just have a factory. They just always get great athletes. They coach them up well down there. And they just really, you know, really provide a great, you know, prospect for the NFL to really kind of, you know, build on there. So again, Devin White, the linebacker at LSU, is a name to watch for the 2019 NFL draft.
Awesome stuff. Once again, NFL draft guru Justin Van Fulpen, kind enough to join us here on the C2P as he just revealed his top 32 2019 NFL available prospects. And it's just, Justin, that was one of my favorite shows that I've done in a long, long time. I felt I was just sitting back, sucking it all in, taking each piece and tidbit that you relayed to me and the audience that are out there enjoying what you've done. And I said, I mean, you know, and you know the best part about it, Justin, was this just wasn't a list of names just posted on the internet. I mean, you gave the names, and then you went with a background check on these guys. So, I mean, it just shows you, I mean, you were far advanced than many others in doing the craft that you love and that you were able to share with us tonight, man. I mean, I can't thank you enough, man. I know our listeners are going to get a bounty out of that, and I think they're going to fall in love with you and want more from you as we move forward. But, Justin, you're fantastic, man. I mean, that was just phenomenal. I mean, it was just great. I mean, I should have had you do the top 500. I mean, we could have just went all night. I know time doesn't allow for that, so we'll let you go because we know we got a lot of other things to do before we move to the draft. But, Justin, man, that was fantastic.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, when you look at, you know, we've talked about the quarterbacks. And, again, I think you'll see those three quarterbacks, and maybe there's going to be a guy who comes out of kind of Nowheresville, you know, there. But when you look at the quarterbacks, we did see, you know, we see guys that are getting older. Phillip Rivers, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, you know. Again, and there's only so many top-level guys. So quarterbacks are always going to be a premium. We're never going to have enough of them because once we kind of feel like we have a bunch of great starting quarterbacks in the NFL, they all have to retire. Tom Brady's got to retire sometime. You know, New England's got to figure out what they're going to do next, you know. You know, and so again, I mean, he can't play to he's 50 unless he has found Ponce de Leon's, you know, in the Fountain of Youth, you know, but I don't think he did, you know. So again, you know, that's the thing is there's never enough great quarterbacks in the NFL for some reason. We can find enough receivers, running backs, defense and offensive linemen, but the guys who can play that position, which is the most important in all of American sports, we don't have enough of them to play that great game of football.
That's awesome stuff. Well said by none other than Justin Van Fulpen. Justin, we appreciate everything you do for us. You're fantastic. Just enjoy your evening and take a deep breath. I know that was a lot of work because you basically carried this particular program for the last basically 45 minutes as you broke down the top 32 2019 process, all done by yourself, all your work. I had nothing to do but benefit from listening to it. You're fantastic, man. Thank you.
No problem. We'll talk soon, Bo.
No problem at all. And folks, I mean, did you take what this guy was telling us? I mean, this guy breaks it down, and he has such insight. He's always had this insight. I mean, he runs all-star games. He works behind the scenes. I mean, this guy has an eye for talent, and that's what he does. I mean, and again, he's just phenomenal. And we really are blessed to have him come on our program and kind of share this type of insight. Because I'm promising you, I don't want to make this into a talking trash type of thing, but I'm pretty confident that if we went toe-to-toe with what Justin laid down tonight with any other program going tonight, that we'd be right there in the mix, if not far ahead of them. And that's all due to what our guest tonight, Justin Van Poelfen, shared with you. Justin, fantastic job. As always, we appreciate you guys listening to the 2019 Top 32 Prospect Show here on the C2P.
This has been a College2Pro.com exclusive.